Free-range parenting has been on the rise in the past decade, and Utah recently became the first state to explicitly legalize free-range parenting, which loosens previous laws around things like letting kids walk to school or play outside unsupervised and stay at home alone. But our next guest says poor and working-class parents will find themselves held to a different set of standards in the public eye, as well as with authorities and institutions when it comes to free-range parenting. Jessica McRoy-Colarco is an assistant professor of sociology at Indiana University. She's the author of Negotiating Opportunities, How the Middle Class Secures Advantages in School. Jessica, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, big picture, first of all, it seems like there's a pendulum swing between we got to keep close eye on our kids to keep them safe all the time and ideas that look more like free-range parenting, let them out on their own more. Can you talk about how that swings back and forth?
Sure. I would say that popular attitudes about parenting do seem to swing back and forth every few generations. But I think the key thing to keep in mind here is that we think of free-range parenting as this relatively new movement, but it's something that some parents have been doing, not necessarily out of choice, but in many cases out of necessity, for a very long time, and in very many cases. So parents who have to work long hours, parents who don't have the resources to afford childcare, especially after-school childcare, childcare when they have to work but their children are sick, or during the summertime. So those parents have often practiced what we might call free-range parenting without the protections, without the legal protections that some new laws are providing, but it often goes under the radar. It's not something that we pay a lot of attention to, and it certainly hasn't gotten the attention that the kind of free-range parenting that we hear a lot about in the media today has gotten.
And that's a big point you write about, is that when we talk about helicopter parenting or free-range parenting, a lot of that seems to have to do with middle-class parents and on up the economic scale. Things look different for people at lower incomes.
Absolutely. So the parents at the top of the income spectrum, the parents who have privilege, whether it's race or class privilege, kind of have the freedom to avoid penalties in many cases. I mean, certainly we have heard of high-profile cases where parents get in trouble, especially for engaging in free-range parenting, but usually they don't face severe consequences, at least, whereas parents who don't have that kind of privilege, who don't have race or class privilege to protect them in those cases, they're the ones who really suffer the consequences when they, oftentimes out of necessity, allow their kids to stay home alone or to walk to friends' houses or to walk to school or leave them in cars by themselves. Those are the parents that often don't have the protections to keep them out of trouble.
Right. It seems to happen that what might be considered free-range parenting for, say, a middle-class parent might be looked at as neglect for that lower-income parent. Why does it work out that way?
Sure, and there's been some research to suggest that people perceive it differently. People perceive parenting differently depending on sort of the motives that they perceive behind what parents are doing. If they think that parents are doing this out of a sort of moral choice to give their kids independence, it's perceived very differently than if a parent has to do this, or if the parent doesn't have resources at home, if the kid doesn't have enough food at home, or if the parent is struggling to make ends meet, if the neighborhood isn't a good neighborhood, if the mother's choices or parent's choices in other areas are seen as potentially suspect. Certainly, we know that from implicit bias research that people are perceived differently on the basis of race and class, and that oftentimes people of color, parents of color, and parents from lower income families are often judged more harshly.
Is there a geographic element here? If the middle class parent can afford to live in a quiet street without a lot of traffic, it's one thing to let their kids run out and play. If you are in a less safe neighborhood with, you know, three lanes of traffic each way on the streets, letting that kid walk outside might be less safe.
I think that's certainly one way to think about it, in that geography does matter in these considerations, but I would question sort of the idea of should that be the only factor, and should it only be parents who can afford to live in high-income neighborhoods that are protected by gated communities or that have parks on every corner where it's 100% safe to walk down the street? Should those be the only parents and the only kids who are afforded the independence that goes along with free-range parenting?
And let's look at the scrutiny that lower income or maybe ethnic minority parent might get that someone else might not. How does it play out on a day-to-day level? Who is looking at the decisions these parents are making or forced to make in some cases, making that call like, hey, there needs to be some kind of legal intervention here?
Sure. We know that the number of CPS calls or Child Protective Services calls, it disproportionately affects low-income families, and especially low-income families of color, in the sense that they are overwhelmingly the ones who are dealing with child welfare agencies, child protective services, and even in cases where those calls are found to be without merit, that can still create significant amounts of stress for families and for their children. If they're dealing with a constant fear of having their children taken away just because they might have to leave them home because they have to choose between, do I go to work today and leave my child at home when they're sick, or do I stay home and potentially risk losing my job because my job doesn't offer protections like staying home when my kid is sick. And so I think that it creates an impossible set of choices, especially for families of limited means and families that are worried about how society perceives them already.
And let's talk about the ability and the resources to advocate as a parent. So suppose that low-income parent and the middle-class parent across town, they get the same report. They get the same call that brings in or that reports them to a school administrator, child protective services, whatever. How does that play out differently given their different resources?
Sure. One of the things that I find in my own research is that middle-class parents, especially middle and upper-middle-class parents, are particularly good at talking themselves out of trouble and their kids out of trouble in the sense that they're very comfortable pushing back, threatening to get lawyers involved. They have the networks and the resources and the knowledge to know how to push back against the system, whereas lower-income parents, families of color, are much more afraid of the system in many cases. They understand the power of authority and the way that it can affect their daily lives. They don't have the same privilege or the same entitlement to push back when they get in trouble. They oftentimes accept that these are the rules and these are the consequences that goes along with breaking them, where privileged parents often don't accept that. They'll say, why does the rule have to be this way, or why should I be held to this rule when I know what I was doing was right in this case? And so we see that playing out differently in terms of families and their ability to avoid the kind of punishments that go along with these systems of child welfare, as well as punishments in other domains as well.
Talking to Jessica McCroy-Calarco, Assistant Professor of Sociology at Indiana University, about what's called free-range parenting and how it plays out differently if you are lower income, middle income, or beyond. Jessica, what could change this? How could this be equalized so that, as you're saying earlier, parents from all different backgrounds, wherever they might live, have the same opportunity to boost the independence of their kids?
Sure. I mean, certainly we've seen some laws that have tried to be put in place to help protect parents who are trying to give their children more independence, but I would argue that some of those laws have problematic clauses in them that only protect parents whose children's basic needs are met and only whose children are sufficiently old enough or seen as sufficiently mature, and that leaves too much wiggle room. And so what I would say is that we really need, if we're going to pass laws to protect things like free-range parenting, that we need to have those laws protect all families equally, regardless of their race and resources, and on a more basic level, we need policy that give all families the resources to meet their basic needs so that parents aren't having to leave their children home out of necessity when they're too young or in neighborhoods that aren't as safe as the parents would want them to be. So giving parents the choice as opposed to letting free-range parenting be a choice as opposed to a necessity, giving parents the resources that they need, childcare, reliable work hours, freedom to not go to work if their children have to stay home sick without fear of losing their jobs. And also programs to educate police officers and case officers, caseworkers and prosecutors and judges about the kinds of implicit biases that exist in our system, especially against poor and working class parents and especially parents of color, to help so that when these cases do show up in the court system or in the legal system, that those parents aren't subjected to the same level of bias that we see today.
And Jessica, as we wrap up, we've heard a lot of argument over the helicopter parenting versus free-range parenting. Not as much about how it plays out differently for people of different economic classes. Do you feel like you're a lone voice here, or are other people, maybe people in the system, starting to pay attention?
I mean, certainly the response that I've gotten to the article that I wrote, there are a lot of parents out there who are thinking about this, and there are some advocates out there, especially in the legal system, child welfare advocates who are thinking about this and dealing with this on a day-to-day basis as well. I got emails and tweets from a number of people who work in the legal system who are defending these families on a day-to-day basis and saying, yes, this is what I experienced, this is what I see. These families are treated differently by the court system, they're treated differently by the child welfare system, and people often aren't paying the same attention to those cases as they are to the families who, it's very easy to pay media attention to a family. A wealthy family living in the suburbs who gets called into question because they let their kids walk to school alone. But the same media attention and the same it doesn't raise alarm for the public when it happens to families that we sort of see families of color, low income families, and we sort of assume that that's the choices that they're making. We sort of assume that it would be okay for them to be called into question by the legal system, whereas we only tend to pay attention to the cases that seem outside of the norm.
We'll leave it there. Jessica, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That was Jessica McCroy-Calarco, an assistant professor of sociology at Indiana University. We've been talking about free-range parenting and how parents of color and working-class families are treated compared to middle or upper-class parents.